Welcome to Breaking It Down with D'Anthony, with your latest host, Devin Anthony. Welcome to the latest edition of Breaking It Down with D'Anthony. A lot of football to talk about today, basketball, hockey. You know, gotta love sports, man. And we got the biggest football game of the year coming up, man. We got the Super Bowl. We're going to get into that a little bit first, but let's talk about the teams that aren't in it anymore. With the Packers and the Bills both getting eliminated in the NFC and AFC championship games, respectfully. So in the NFC Championship game, you have the Buccaneers versus the Packers, with the Buccaneers outlasting Aaron Rodgers 31-26. Tom Brady threw for 3 touchdowns, but had 3 interceptions to go along with that. And, you know, a lot of memes on the internet making fun of him, you know, comparing him to Jameis Winston's time at Buccaneers, because that was a pretty standard stat line for him at the Buccaneers, you know, with 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I think was the first quarterback to throw for 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in league history a couple seasons ago for the Buccaneers. So Brady, a little bit reminiscent of Jameis Winston. But I'm not comparing the GOAT to Jameis Winston. Let's be real here. You know, Aaron Rodgers, GOAT of Green Bay, he threw for 3 touchdowns in the NFC Championship game, along with 346 yards in the air. You know, but Chris Godwin for the Buccaneers, he had a monster game with 110 yards, and Mike Evans had a very big touchdown as well. And, you know, you got to feel bad for the corner of the Packers, Joshua King. I think he let up 3 scores, I believe, and then a PI, pass interference at the end that gave the Buccaneers the first down and the win. So pretty tragic game from him. You know, if he had stepped up, the Packers probably would have had a better chance of holding the Buccaneers defensively. But it happened. It's in the past. And if you're the Packers, you know, you got to look towards the future. But what that future holds, as you know, you're not unsure because your quarterback, you know, there is speculation. I don't think he's going to leave. You know, I think he'll stay in Green Bay, but there's definitely, it's not for sure. You know, there's always going to be rumors about people leaving, but I think Rodgers is the Packers guy. You know, I really don't see him leaving or anywhere that makes sense. There's rumors going around, okay, could he go to San Francisco? Like, I just don't see it happening. I think it would take way too much for a team to have to trade for him. You know, but you got to raise the question, you know, with the Packers not making the Super Bowl, a lot of people thought they would. Unfortunately, they were outlasted by 5th seed. You know, they had home field advantage throughout the playoffs, booked that first seed and did it pretty comfortably as well. But you know, it's Tom Brady in the playoffs. He you can't bet against him. As great as Rodgers has been through his career, he's only won 1 Super Bowl. Brady has won 6, and now he's in Super Bowl number 10. Like, there's levels there. Don't get me wrong. Rodgers, I think, is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but Brady is the best quarterback of all time. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later, but there's definitely levels to that. But if you're the Packers and you're a Packers fan, you got to be questioning why. I've been talking about it in a podcast previously. I talked about it right after the draft last year. But why did they move up? I think it was only 4 spots, but still, they moved up to draft Utah State quarterback Jordan Love in the first round. That's who they picked in their first round. It was another quarterback. Why do you need another quarterback? Give Rodgers another wide receiver. I mean, they're fine with the running back position because they had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who both had pretty good seasons. You know, even improve your defense, get a defensive lineman, get a better corner. Like, the fact that they drafted a quarterback, which you easily could have done next year or the year after. Granted, I don't think they could have predicted the monster season Rodgers was going to have this year. I mean, he's probably going to win the MVP. You know, Rodgers threw 48 touchdowns this year, which is the most in the NFL, and threw for 4,300 yards as well, which was 7th in the NFL, and then only 5 interceptions, which was the best in the NFL as well, or the least, should I say. You know, it's still mind-blowing. Like, why take Jordan Love? Why? Like, it's almost like you're putting an expiration date on Rodgers. And I think, obviously, the positive of that was that it probably motivated Aaron Rodgers more than he's been in the last couple years. You know, to motivate him to have that monster MVP season. But come playoff time, you need maybe that first round pick. If you take a better defensive player, you take a wide receiver or a tight end, maybe that player has a big game and you make it to Super Bowl. I know it's all theoretical, but Jordan Love didn't even see the field this year. I don't even think he saw it for 1 snap. I might be wrong, but he definitely, you know, Rodgers never got injured or came off to rest. Like, Rodgers was in there the whole time. So what was the point of having Jordan Love there besides to, quote-unquote, motivate Rodgers? Like, I think Rodgers is going to have a great season regardless. Like, he needed to make a name for himself. But, you know, if you're the Packers, you got to regret making that pick. I mean, there's even decent quarterbacks in the draft class this year that they could have got later in the first round. Like, why do it last year? Why? Especially because you knew you had the team to make a playoff run. But, you know, without giving Rodgers better assets. I mean, it's a great team, don't get me wrong. But if they had been more wise about that first round pick, I think it possibly could have been a different story. I think it'd be there are trade rumors around Jordan Love, because, you know, he's a decent quarterback. Like, I don't want to bag on him and act like he's not a good quarterback. Obviously, he hasn't had a chance to prove himself. Didn't play in a very strong conference in college, even though he lit it up in college, but not great competition. But there's rumors saying that the Packers can maybe shop him, trade him to Chicago, maybe to a Washington football team, maybe New England. I don't know. There are always going to be rumors about quarterbacks leaving and getting traded. But I really don't see that trade happening either. I think Rodgers will probably be done in the next 2-3 years. We'll retire, and Jordan Love will be the guy. He'll have developed. He'll have learned under Rodgers. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll be great for them. And we're just, as sports fans, we're just not trusting the process that the Packers have in mind. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll look back on this in a couple of years and be like, oh, why did I bag on that Jordan Love dude? Maybe he'll be great. You never know. But, you know, the Packers definitely on the wrong side of that game. You know, not easy to be a Packers fan right now. I'm a Rams fan. They knocked my team off fairly, which I'll give it to them. But on the other side, you know, Bills, shout out to the Buffalo Bills, man. They had a great season. Josh Allen had a great year. Had the fifth most touchdowns in the league this year with 37. And the fifth most passing yards, which was over 4,500 in his third season for the Bills. And he's improved tremendously from his rookie year. If you look at the stat lines, this dude is a leader. He's a baller. He plays with swag. And I definitely see the Bills making right back in the AFC Championship game again next year. The Bills can definitely make some small improvements defensively and add a solid running back in the draft of free agency, and that should help them get back to the AFC Championship game and hopefully even to the Super Bowl past that. But the Josh Allen effect is real. You know, the Bills have gotten better each year. He's been there. You know, getting Stephon Diggs in free agency was huge for them. Diggs had the most receptions and receiving yards in the league this season, which was huge for his career and for the Bills moving forward. But if you're this Bills team, you can't have your head down. You got to look towards next year. You have that team has a legitimate chance. I'd give them probably top three team to win the Super Bowl next year. They're a good team. They're a very good team, and they gave the Chiefs a run for their money. You know, that Chiefs defense was playing probably their best game of the year. You know, the Bills offensive line didn't have a great game. Josh Allen was getting rushed a lot. But you never know. Maybe if that game was in Buffalo, it would have been a different story. So you really just never know. And I think the Bills are a very solid team and should be right back there next year. All right, back to my Rams. Matthew Stafford is traded for Jared Goff. Crazy. I couldn't believe when I saw the news. You know, most people thought the Lions won the trade because they did get two first rounders and a third rounder out of it. And Jared Goff as well, who, you know, to be fair, he's led Rams to the Super Bowl, although as Rams fans, I don't think he was very good for us. Technically, he did still lead us to a Super Bowl, although I would say that the defense carried that year in addition to Todd Gurley. You know, I don't totally disagree with the opinion that the Lions won the trade because, you know, they are in a rebuilding stage and draft capital will be very important for the rebuild. However, picking up Goff's contract is significant and a lot more than what they were paying Stafford, that's for sure. However, I give the Lions probably an A- in the trade because they already agreed with Stafford to part ways and they got a very ideal package for him in return. And, you know, you got the Lions looking towards the future, but the Rams are looking to now. You know, you got Donald, Ramsey, Akers had a great rookie season, a great two playoff games as well. You know, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Now you have great quarterback in Matt Stafford that never really got a great chance. I don't even think he made the playoffs, but he was on the Lions just because of how horrible they were in his career there. But now this will by far be the best team he's ever played with. They'll definitely make the playoffs, even though they are in a very difficult NFC West division. I think all four teams, 49ers, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams, they all have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs, and they did last year too. So, you know, especially the 49ers getting all their players back from injury, they were, you know, they were devastated by injuries last year. So with them getting their players back and healthy, they'll be right there again. You know, people forget because of, you know, they didn't have a great season last year. People forget how great they were in their run to the Super Bowl last year. You know, when they made it to the Super Bowl and played against the Chiefs, and they were right there. It came down to that fourth quarter, and the 49ers could have been Super Bowl champs. But, you know, Mahomes is going to Mahomes, and those Chiefs are just so electric, man. And I'll get to that a little bit later when we get to our Super Bowl preview. You know, the Rams, they won't have any first-rounders for a couple years. But they're okay with that because of the moves they made in free agency, you know, and their ability to still get talent in the draft past the first round, like how they got Cam Akers in the second round last year. And he had a pretty good season for them to be a rookie. And, you know, with a quarterback like Stafford and McVay's offense, that's exciting. You know, L.A. will be a lot more effective offensively and will be a very hard team to beat because, you know, especially because of how great that defense has become. One of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. And, you know, if that Rams team can stay healthy, I think the Rams are serious contenders to go the whole way next year. And if not, you know, they'll still be elite for the next 2 or 3 years. But, you know, I'd give the Rams an A- in the trade as well. So I think both teams got what they wanted out of it. And so that's why I give them the same letter grade for that. All right, on to the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about predictions, winners, over-under, spread, and possible, you know, who's going to be MVP. Is it going to be Mahomes? Is Kelsey going to have a breakout game? Could it be Hill? Like, he had a huge breakout game against the Buccaneers, I think, in week 12. But first, let's look at the over-under. It'll be 56.5. That's what Vegas has put it to. And the score in the week 12 matchup between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, it was 27-24. You know, the Chiefs did get out to a 27-10 lead, and then the Bucs scored twice in the fourth quarter and held the Chiefs scoreless that quarter as well. But the Chiefs definitely took off gas a little in that fourth quarter, and I don't think they'll do the same in Super Bowl if they go up big. The spread is by 3 points for Kansas City, which is the exact outcome in Week 12. But I think the Chiefs, I think they can win by 2 or 3 scores just because of how dominant they've been this year. You know, Mahomes has only lost 1 game this season because he was rested in their loss in week 17. You know, his only loss, you know, with him playing was only by 1 score, which was 40-32 to the Raiders all the way back to week 5, which was 2-3 months ago. And, you know, that was probably the Chiefs' worst defensive game of the season. So that didn't help them either, even though Mahomes did have a pretty good game offensively. And I think the Chiefs will definitely be ready, locked in defensively against Brady and the Bucs. But Brady and the Bucs offense, that offense is elite and they're on fire. But, you know, but the Chiefs basically have already shown that, you know, that they can shut them down. You know, if it wasn't for kind of a lackluster effort in the fourth quarter, once they went up 27-10, I think, you know, it could have been even worse for the Buccaneers. But, you know, I think the Chiefs will keep the pressure. You know, they definitely kept a lot of pressure on Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game, so they could do the same against Brady. You know, don't give him a lot of time to throw, then the Chiefs should be successful defensively in this game. You know, Tyreek Hill, he made the Bucs secondary look silly in their matchup in week 12. You know, he had 269 yards in the air, or receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns to go along with that. You know, it was dominant. Like, from a wide receiver, it was the best performance all year. 269 yards. It was crazy. You know, Mahomes had 462 of those, 462 passing yards in the air. But, you know, this Chiefs team is simply too dominant compared to the Bucs. And, you know, as soon as Mahomes starts firing at Kelsey and Hill, and if Darrell Williams can have another big game on the ground like he did in the AFC Championship game, I think the Chiefs should be in good shape to win the game by a couple scores. You know, both QBs playing have won a Super Bowl, and although Brady has been in 9 Super Bowls already, you know, Mahomes knows what it takes to win now too. So, you know, they both know what it takes. Although, you know, there's a big difference. Brady's won 6, Mahomes has won 1. It just seems like the Chiefs are the much more confident and electric team going into this. I think they'll prove that, wrap that up in their final game of the season. All right, moving on to the NBA. You know, the Clippers and the Jazz are on a roll. The Lakers are right there too. The Bucks, Celtics, Nets, 76ers, they're all doing very well. 76ers currently 17-7, top of the top of the East. Utah 18-5, top of the West. Lakers right under them at 18-6. As of now, just came off a big double overtime win against Detroit at home. LeBron James, man, 33 points in that game against Detroit. He's become such a great shooter in this league. Probably one of his, in terms of his career, this has definitely been his best shooting season and the best we've seen from him. 13-26 from the field in that game against Detroit, and 3-for-7 from three, and two huge threes in double overtime to ice the game for the Lakers. He also had 11 assists. You know, he's been the assist master. He's averaging 7.7 assists per game, which is 7th in the league. You know, he's along with 25 points a game to go with that, which is 14th in the league. This Lakers team's, I know they're not first in the West right now. They're only, I think, half a game behind Utah, but they're balanced. They're balanced. You know, Schroeder's been great at point guard. Caruso, he hasn't really been starting, but he's been great for defensive energy. He's finishing most games out on the floor. That final five of Schroeder, Caruso, KCP, LeBron, AD, they're finished. They're closing out games. There's been a lot of close games. They're not winning very many games convincingly. You know, their new center they signed during the offseason, Marc Gasol. He hasn't been great for the Lakers. He's been fairly quiet, not great defensively. Hasn't been producing much on offense. So kind of a disappointing signing there from the Lakers. But Montrezl has been good. He's been aggressive, averaging 13 points along with 6 rebounds coming off the bench. You know, he's only playing like 25, 26 minutes a night. So, or sometimes even less than that. So I would like him to see, would like him to get more of a role on this Lakers team, but, they're figuring it out, and not a very long off season, but you know, to come out in your first 24 games at 18-6, you gotta be happy with that. Second year player, Talen Horton-Tucker, he was great in this preseason for the Lakers. He's not getting very many minutes either. I think he's only averaging 15, 20 minutes a game. But when he's out there, he's definitely making the most of it, producing on both sides of the ball. Kuzma's been shooting pretty decent. All guys are contributing. There's no one bringing this team down that's in the 8-9 guy rotation. You know, you could argue Marc Gasol hasn't been as good as they like him to, but he's still good. He's making good passes. He's rebounding. So that's what they need from him. They don't need him to put up 20 when you have guys like LeBron, AD, KCP, Schroeder all putting up big numbers. So, but the Lakers are figuring it out. And, you know, as great as the Lakers been, the Clippers have been outstanding as well. Got to give credit to them. The Jazz have quietly been very, very good. Even though they're first in the West, I still feel like they're definitely getting slept on. They're closing out games. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, which is very, very impressive. That's the best any team's had in the last 10 games, and Sixers right under them with 8-2 in their last 10 games. Both those teams, I don't see either of those teams making the finals, but a very good start for both of them to start the season. Clippers, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, been outstanding. Kawhi's averaging 26 points a game. What else can you ask from? The dude has been awesome. Paul George had a game where he put up 36 against the Cavaliers a couple days ago. He's averaging 24. So as long as that duo keeps putting up big numbers, playing well defensively, they can carry the Clippers back to the West, or not. Well, they didn't make the Western Conference Finals because they blew through and lead in the Western Conference Semifinals against the Nuggets. But they're hoping to get to the Western Conference Finals. I'd love to see a Lakers Clippers Western Conference Finals. We were hoping to see that last year. We didn't get it because the Clippers did blow the 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. But I'd love to see that matchup. First game of the season for the Lakers and Clippers were against each other. The Clippers did beat the Lakers in that game, 116-109. But Paul George cannot miss in that game. He had 33 points, 13 for 18 from the field. He just caught fire in the fourth quarter. So, you give me a 7-game series, Lakers versus Clippers. I can't bet against my Lakers. Come on. I think both teams are very, very deep. But when you put up the duo of Kawhi and Paul George versus AD and LeBron, I'm taking AD and LeBron all day. They just want a ring. Like, they know what it takes. And, you know, you can argue that the Lakers are, you know, they're blowing too many leads. They blew a pretty bad lead to the Warriors a couple weeks ago at home. You know, the stuff like that's unexcusable. But I would like to see the Lakers to win games more confidently, not let teams back into the game once they do get up big, and to close games out. Honestly, it'd make it easier for them. LeBron and AD would get to rest more. But that's just not happening very often. They're letting teams like the Pistons, the Hawks, stay in it to the last moments. And, you know, you're going to be more tired when you let that happen night in, night out. So they really got to focus on getting out ahead early, maintaining that lead, and closing that lead. The Eastern Conference, let's talk about the Eastern Conference. The Sixers, as I said, off to a great start. The Heat, who represented the Eastern Conference in the finals last year, they're not doing very good. They're 8-14, coming off a win against the Wizards, but the Wizards are horrible, 5-14. But Jimmy Butler coming back, I think that can turn things around for the Heat, but they've pretty much dug themselves a hole early into the season. But you never know. That team is obviously, as we saw in the playoffs, they are capable of making huge runs and getting hot. So I'm not giving much to the Wizards. I don't think the Wizards can compete. 5-14, only five wins in their first 19-20 games. So it just hasn't worked out as they thought it would, because as soon as everyone saw the Westbrook John Wall trade, they're like, oh, Wizards won that trade. Westbrook is to play with Bradley Beal. But the problem is, the rest of that team is not very good. That is not a deep team whatsoever. And especially when there's nights when either Westbrook isn't playing or Bradley Beal isn't playing, if one of those two guys aren't playing, you can guarantee an automatic loss. And it's disappointing. This is obviously very, very disappointing for Westbrook, because he's been in the playoffs so many times in the last couple of years. Bradley Beal's used to this kind of stuff. But I think if you're a Wizards fan, or even a fan of just Westbrook or Beal, you're disappointed. You want to see more out of that team. But I just don't think they have the guys to do what it takes to win night in, night out. So it's disappointing, but we've seen how competitive this league has become in the last 6-7 years, and no one's going to take their foot off the brake. So I just don't think the Wizards are ready for that. The rest of that team is too young to support Westbrook and Beal, and yeah, I just don't see them being very successful down the road. Let's talk about the Nets. Harden getting traded to the Nets, it's just not fair. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, that's unfair. Offensively, that is not fair. But they're not getting it done defensively. That's the catch. They've had the highest scoring production in the league since James Harden's been traded to the Nets, but in turn, they've had the worst defensive efficiency. They've got to figure it out defensively. They are a great team offensively. You got guys who, Kyrie's never won an MVP, but he basically iced the game for the Cavaliers in that 2016 finals matchup against the Warriors. So Kyrie's an all-star. He's won an all-star game MVP. But Harden, KD both won MVPs in their career. Those are generational talents. Even Kyrie has changed the game in terms of highlighting ball handling, getting to the rim, finishing at the rim. These three guys, if they had been on a team, let's say 3-4 years ago, it's not even a question that they're the best team in the league. But times change. They are older now. Don't get me wrong. If there is an All-Star of the game this year, all three of them will make the All-Star game. To have three All-Stars in your team, no other team in the NBA has that. There's none of those players are very good defensively. I know KD's long and he's probably the best defender out of those three, but Kyrie and Harden, their game is offense. Their game is not defense. And they've shown that throughout their career, especially James Harden. James Harden is not a defender. I mean, he tries sometimes, but that's not where his heart is. And it's not where Kyrie's heart is either. And because able to trade for Harden, they had to trade so much draft picks and bench players that contribute a lot. Their star center, Jared Allen, who is, I think, in his third, fourth year. He was huge for them in terms of, rebounding, blocks, getting points at the bucket. They traded him to Cavaliers to make space for Harden. So, they had to give up a lot, but they're looking to win. And when you can acquire another all-star to go along with Kyrie and KD already, you're going to go for it. And I don't blame the Nets. But if they want to, if they want to win the finals this year, if they even want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to have to step up defensively. And, you know, let's say last five minutes in the game, you're down two. Those three guys are all going to be they're all going to be on the court. So they've got to dial in defensively. Whoever's out on the court with them, you know, usually like DeAndre Jordan and Joe Harris or Joe Harris and Jeff Green. Those guys are really going to have to step up and contribute defensively if the Nets want to be competitive down the road. Don't get me wrong. That team is electric offensively. And, you know, probably now with acquiring Harden, they are the best offensive team in the league. But I would probably rank them bottom five, bottom five defenses in the league. So they've got to figure that out. And that's what made the Lakers so good last year, is because they had a perfect combination of both. You know, LeBron's driving down the court, kicks out to AD. You know, those guys are getting it going, pick and rolls, you know, all of that. But then on the other side of the court, you got LeBron locking in defensively. You have AD, who I think was second in defensive player of the year voting last year. You have Caruso, who's a lockdown defender. Even KCP is a decent defender. Now, adding Dennis Schroeder, he's very energetic on both sides of the court. So I think the Lakers have that perfect balance that the Nets really don't have, because they've been so driven by just having star power. All right, moving on to hockey. We got Vegas Golden Knights. They're off to a great start until a brutal shootout loss to St. Louis. But then they're followed by games being postponed for over a week due to COVID protocols. But all lines are bringing great energy. Especially that line of Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and Chandler Stephenson, defenseman Alex Pietrangelo, he's been great. He's had a great defensive leadership, and Fleury has looked like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, he's looked like the better goaltender so far. You know, Leonard's looked a little bit shaky off that shoulder injury. I hope he'll turn things around. He's also not seeing very many shots, so he can't really prove himself. But it just looks like Fleury's playing with more motivation, more swag, and therefore looks like the better goaltender. Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, they've been on fire for Edmonton. You know, and then you have Washington, Philly, Boston. They're all playing well with their star power. Toronto's been great, led by stellar play from Austin Matthews. And the Canadiens, too, who's signing of Tyler Toffoli from Vancouver. That's looked like a great move for them so far. And he had a hat trick against his former team, Vancouver, a couple weeks ago. St. Louis, Colorado, I think they'll both give Vegas a run for their money for sure. To win the West, as you know, Perron, O'Reilly, Shen have all been great, very productive for St. Louis so far. And former Bruins defender Torrey Krug, who the Blues added over the offseason, he started to fit well into that team as well. Colorado star McKinnon, he scored just two goals in his first 10 games, but put up an impressive 12 assists in those first 10 games. There are a lot of legitimate contenders in the NHL this year. But I think it's really going to come down to which team can avoid COVID and getting shut down the most. Because, you know, when teams get on a roll, let's say they win 3-4 in a row, and all of a sudden a player gets COVID, now they're shut down for a week and a half, and the momentum's all gone. Then you come back out and lose 5-6 in a row. And, you know, that's not ideal. And it's going to be hard to be a legitimate playoff team in contention when something like that happens. So, you know, the more disciplined teams stay with COVID and being safe about all that, I think that will definitely help them. At the end of the day, talent is talent. You know, the Senators, the Red Wings, they're not going to be anywhere near the playoffs this year. I don't think the Kings will be anywhere near the playoffs this year. Like, they're pretty bad teams. COVID doesn't really affect, and it's not going to make or break them. But when you have teams who are kind of around the cuff, like the Flyers, the Islanders, like those kind of teams, you're going to have to be disciplined. And you're going to have to keep your team healthy. And once you have runs, you got to keep those. And you got to keep your team disciplined. So I think it's really going to come down to that, to who's going to be most successful this year in the NHL. We're going to wrap up today's show with a little college basketball recap. You got Baylor and their star, Jared Butler. He's been great for them. Gonzaga with Jalen Suggs, they keep rolling. Those two teams are both still undefeated. Gonzaga ranked first in the country, 17-0. Baylor, second in the country at 16-0. So those two teams, you know, it's going to be very, very hard to get past them once the NCAA tournament. Michigan, who's ranked fourth in the country, they've looked very strong, but have had a couple of their games, or I think five games now, been postponed due to COVID protocols. Iowa, who's ranked eighth in the country, they're 13-5. Their star center, Luka Garza, is averaging 26 points a game this season. I think he'll definitely go top 15 in the draft this year. But yeah, it's open. It's very much open. I know Gonzaga and Baylor are very, very dominant, but Villanova's right. Villanova's got a very strong team this year. Texas and Shaka Smart, they've got a great team this year. Ohio State's been great. They just got a big win over Iowa, 89-85. EJ Liddell has been awesome for them. There's a lot of promising teams. Even, you know, Alabama could be, they're currently ranked 10th in the country, but still a lot of people sleep on them as well. They can make a run. My UCLA Bruins, they're a little bit more disappointed. They're ranked 21st in the country, which came off a very tough loss, I think by 18 points to USC. So, you know, great defensive team. Got shout out to Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin's been an awesome coach for them so far. But for enable for that UCLA team to be competitive in the tournament, you know, first of all, everyone's got to stay healthy because that team is not very good when you have one or two guys down. Everyone's got to be contributing. Everyone's got to be there. Everyone's got to be healthy. But that UCLA team has definitely created themselves as a defensive, you know, defensive team with that defensive identity. You know, they're decent. They're decent offensively, but it's pretty much there's not a solid score for them, especially with the absence of Chris Smith, who suffered a season-ending injury a couple weeks ago. But yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that I think can make a legitimate run in the NCAA tournament. And I, you know, Gonzaga and Baylor, again, favorites, no doubt. I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up seeing them in that national championship. But obviously, it's way early in this whole process, right? So, you know, we won't have the NCAA tournament until March. There's still another month and a half, so basketball to play until then. So, yeah, but, you know, the favorites are emerging, but you never know. There's always dark horses. They're right there. And anything can happen. We saw a couple years ago with Loyola Chicago making the Final Four when none of us ever thought that would happen. So you never know. That's what makes college basketball so much fun, is just how unpredictable it is. So I love it. Happy Super Bowl to everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I'll see you soon.